Now I want to invite our boys and girls, children, to come for a few seconds, a few minutes. Come right on down. We're glad to see all of you. We haven't been having very many. I'm glad we've got quite a few this morning. That's nice. Well, have you been out sliding or anything like that since we got snow? You did? Well, that's fun, isn't it? Hi. Anybody else been sliding or on their skating or anything like that? No? That's good. Did you say, when you wanted to go out sliding, did you say, Mom, where's the sled? You didn't? Well, you knew where it was, huh? Okay, well, sometimes I remember when my children were young, in fact, they still do it occasionally. They say, where's my shoes? Where's my coat? Did you ever do that with your mother and father? Well, you know, they don't wear your shoes or your coat, so how would they know? I want to tell you about a kingdom of people that had a hard time doing things for themselves. And I've discovered that when boys and girls and men and women do things for themselves, that they're a lot happier. And we sometimes don't do that. This king was king in a small kingdom of people who just couldn't do anything for themselves. Everything that was done, somebody else did for them. And so one day this king decided he was going to teach them a lesson. And so he went out on the road, one of the highways, which in those days was rather narrow, dug a hole right in the middle of the highway, put a huge boulder right in that hole. But before he did that, he put a bag of gold in the hole. And lo and behold, pretty soon down the road came a farmer with his equipment, and he had a hard time getting around that boulder. He never even thought about maybe he ought to move it out of the way. Pretty soon a businessman came zooming down the road and almost hit the boulder with his car, but he managed to get around. And all that day, dozens of people came down the road and walked around the boulder or made their way around the boulder. None of them would take opportunity to get out and maybe move it, to do something for themselves. So the next day, the king called all his people together, right there on that spot on the highway where that boulder was, and said, look, I'm getting kind of tired of being king over a bunch of people who won't do anything for themselves. So I put this boulder here. I thought maybe that if one of you would move it, you'd get a reward. If one of you would do something for yourself, you'd get a reward. So he moved the boulder, and of course he kept the gold. Well, there's a good lesson here. When we do things for ourselves, there's a reward. When we see something that needs done around the house, if we go ahead and do it, there may be some kind of reward. When we take our shoes off at night, we put them where we'll know they are in the morning, so we won't have to say, hey, Mom, what'd you do with my shoes? So remember the story of the king and his people who never would do anything for themselves. Maybe you can profit from it and do things that, without being told, and help yourself. People who do things for themselves don't always get gold, but they always receive some nice blessings. Thank you for coming this morning. Almighty God, from whose power and wisdom we have received life, and from whose love we have been offered the means of its redemption, hear us now as we pray. As we worship together, let us see how we can better live when we follow your guidance and when we seek to grow under your nurture. As we worship, let gratitude fill our hearts as we count our blessings and remember your mercies. We are needy people. We do not need more material things, but we need more things that enrich the spirit. We really do not need more truth. We only need to heed the truth we already know. We do not need more things, but we do need to do more, the important and the valuable. We do not need more success. We do need to succeed more in serving you. Our needs have been magnified because we have so often ignored your presence. We have opened our hearts to passing voices and closed them to yours. We've given our hearts to ourselves and withheld them from others and from you. We have sought strange remedies for our brokenness and have refused your touch, the touch that could make us whole. Breathe upon us today, our Father, a fresh appreciation of truth which will blow the staleness from our souls. Kindle in us a flame of love that will consume the emotions which create discord in our lives and in our fellowship. Ignite in our hearts a faith which will shine through the windows of our lives to dispel darkness and doubt. As we share this hour together, make us conscious of tasks that need workmen, of lives that need help, of issues that need voices, of burdens that need lifting. Make us aware of wounds which need binding, of sorrows which need solacing, and of the frail who need strengthening. Make us conscious of the strife that needs to be undone by peacemaking, of hatreds that need melting by love, and of despair that needs to be wiped away by hope. Will you in your love look to the needs of others? Let us be agents of your healing work. And when this opportunity for worship and renewal, celebration and encounter is ended, may our lives be touched with resources to meet the week ahead. Now, our Father, as we wait in a silent moment, listen to our prayers, to our meditation. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Somehow in the providence and or the mercy and the love of God, there is a scheme for human beings by which he has provided for a distribution of gifts to his people. Very often, in fact, usually, each person seems to have a different one or ones. There are people who like to work with their hands, others with their heads, and some don't like to work. Some like it outside, some like it inside. That's why there are farmers, there are auto mechanics, there are electricians, there are teachers, there are salesmen, there are musicians. Each one is different. And I think that's part of God's scheme or plan for human life.
What if everyone was a college professor? Who would feed us? Who would repair our automobiles? And just as God created an infinite number of flowers and trees to blend together with the beauty of the sky and the sea to provide us not only with food, but with majesty to behold, so he has given a rainbow of talents so that every need we have can be met, and so that the beauty and the wonder of that which is called human life can be enhanced. Now, when these gifts that every person has are properly blended together, then the hungry will be fed. Man's spiritual condition will be ministered to, and some of our loves, such as technology, will be further advanced. And when these marvelous and wondrous gifts that God has given are at last blended and shared, mankind will be on the threshold, at least, of the kingdom. And that same thing is true in the church. We have many needs in the church. Not everyone is called to teach or to preach. Not everyone should sing in the choir. Not everyone should do visitation. Each has a different gift. Paul writes, as read this morning, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he will. You should take time today to read the balance of that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And Paul further expounds or demonstrates how the gifts work together. This morning, though you've done it time and time before, I want you to do it again. What is your gift? What do you have to offer the world? Now think broadly. Think beyond yourself, beyond your present work, your job. If you're young, think how you're going to utilize that gift or those gifts. William Menninger said, in talking about a job he had with the armed forces, said, "We learned much in the army as to the importance of selection and placement, of putting the right man in the right job. A conviction of the importance of the job at hand was extremely important. Where a man had no interest, when he felt he was misplaced, where he thought he was not appreciated, where he believed his talents were being misused, invariably we found a potential, if not actual psychiatric casualty." Are you a psychiatric casualty because you're misplaced? What is your gift? Albert Einstein one time was on the lecture tour, and he talked about his theory of relativity, and he traveled with a chauffeur. And one day the chauffeur said, "Dr. Einstein, I've heard you deliver your lecture so many times that I think I could give it myself." So Einstein said, "Very well, you get the chance. Now, the place we're going tonight, the university, I've never been there, and those people do not know me. So I'll put on your uniform, and you introduce me as a chauffeur, and you and yourself as me, and then you give the lecture." For a while, everything went according to their plan. And the chauffeur did deliver the lecture without any flaw whatsoever. When he concluded, however, one of the professors got up and asked a very complex question. And the chauffeur said, "Sir, the solution to that problem is so simple, I'm really surprised you have to ask me to give it to you. Indeed, just to prove how simple it is, I'm going to ask my chauffeur to step forward and answer your question." We have to be ourselves. We have to live up to the potential which God has given us. We have to use those gifts which are uniquely ours. We can't use somebody else's. What's your gift? Every person has a different answer, probably. Now, it'd be very helpful to recognize that whatever your gift, it has value in God's world. John Gardner said, "An excellent plumber is infinitely more admirable than an incompetent philosopher." He said, "The society which scorns excellence in plumbing because plumbing is a humble activity and tolerates shoddiness in philosophy because it's an exalted activity will have neither good plumbing nor good philosophy. Neither its pipes or its theories will hold water." Let us respect one another's gifts. A couple, for example, sits in their pastor's office. They're talking about their daughter, a bright, studious, outgoing girl who's in college, a senior. She's fallen in love with a man who is a bit older than she is, one who's been in the service and has come back to college, and he's not a good student. And his goals in life are fairly modest, and the parents are crushed. They wanted their daughter to go to graduate school. As far as they were concerned, this young man was not worthy of their daughter. Then later, the pastor had a chance to meet the young man. It's obvious to him that he was not overly ambitious, not overly scholarly. Yet, he had gifts that the parents and the girl did not possess. He was warm and open, for example. He liked people. Seemed to have his feet on the earth. He understood his own strengths and weaknesses. And he loves the girl. And he had many qualities in the judgment of the pastor which go into making an excellent husband. Now, who possesses the most valued gifts? The bright girl or the warm, open fellow? The truth is, they both have gifts which are important. And each of us has gifts, and they vary, but each one is important. We need one another. Our gifts are only become of supreme value, however, and this is probably most significant of all, they only become of value when they're offered to God, whatever the gift is. One of the marvels of the Christian faith, Christian life, is that God condescends to use people as his instruments in carrying out his redemptive purposes. Now, God has a plan for every life, for your life. Everyone has an opportunity to fit into God's purpose, and until he does, he's going to have problems. You may not be a Lincoln who's going to free an ethnic group of people. You may not be a Florence Nightingale to improve health care. Our tasks probably are much less glamorous, but God has something for each one of us to do. There's a story about three little trees, each of who wanted to be something in life. The first tree wanted to be an attractive, pretty cradle when it grew up. One day, some people came along, however, and chopped the tree down. And it was hewn into very rough pieces, carelessly put together, and made into a manger. And the manger was taken to all places, Bethlehem. It was put there in a dark stable. No one could see it but the cattle and the goats. One day, though, God laid his own son there, in that manger. and the manger quivered with delight. The tree thought, how wonderful. In all of my dreams, I never thought of holding a baby like this one. This is better than all my planning. I am part of a miracle. And years passed. Men came into the forest. They cut down the second tree. This tree had aspired to be a great vessel, great ship when it grew up. But it did not do those great things. Instead of a great vessel, it was made into a rude and humble little fishing boat, owned by a simple and rude man named Peter. And the little boat, little tree, now a boat, was greatly unhappy. And one day, as it sat along the shore of Galilee, very unhappily and dejectedly, a crowd gathered around it, and a man called Jesus stepped into the boat and taught people from it. And the boat whispered, "This is wonderful. In all my dreams, I never thought I would be used in a miracle." Then a few months pass. Some men go into the forest, and the third little tree is cut down, now not so little. And this tree aspired and wanted to remain there to forever point upward to God. But the men cut it down, tore off its branches. They cut into its bark, and their axes struck down deep toward the heart of its tree. They cut it apart, and they put it together again, this time in the form of a crude cross. And the tree quivered and thought, how terrible. They're going to hang someone. I never wanted this to happen to me. I only wanted to sit out on that tree, that hillside, and point to God. And one day outside Jerusalem, a crowd gathered, and in the middle of the crowd was Jesus. And they took him, and they nailed him to the cross. And the little tree heard words of forgiveness and peace. And Christ completed his work of redemption there and, as it says, gave up the ghost. And the cross began to understand. It whispered, how wonderful. I am a part of a miracle. In all my dreams, I never thought I would point to God like this. This is better than all my planning. God has entrusted each of us some gift, some ability, large or small, and we become fully His when we fit into a plan. His plan enables us to use the gift He has given us. Have you yet yielded your gift to Christ? Are you investing yours to the glory of God? Do not promise. Don't promise to fulfill God's will today, or rather tomorrow, if you're not willing to do your best to fulfill it today and now. If you'll invest your life for God, use your gift in accordance with His plan, He will multiply your investment in ways that you never before dreamed possible, and you will become like the little trees, a part of a miracle. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our Father, how often we have pondered the special things that you have given us, the fashions in which you have made us unique. So often we've tried to find out, discover, what those special gifts were that you have given to us. Let us, O God, continue that quest, and when we discover those gifts, as some already have, let us commit them fully to you, for therein we shall find life in its fullness. In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.